You are listening to the Wealth Without Bay Street podcast, a Canadian guide to building dependable wealth. Join your hosts, Richard Canfield and Jason Lowe, as they unlock the secrets to creating financial peace of mind in an uncertain world. Discover the strategies and mindsets to a financial future that you can bank on.
Get our simple 7-step guide to becoming your own banker. It's easy. Head over to 7steps.ca and learn exactly the learning process required for you to implement this amazing strategy into your financial life. That's 7steps.ca. Today in our client series, we're joined by The Marshall. Adam Marshall has been kicking butt and taking names for 20 years with REMAX in Ontario. If there's houses being sold, probability, Adam has seen it all. He's been through the whole gamut. And as a real estate investor with a whole bunch of cash flowing doors, we're going to have a really fun conversation with him today, a little bit about his journey on creating a successful real estate career, buying some of the properties that he's done, what he sees for some of the trends coming up in the Ontario region. And of course, how does infinite banking as a practitioner of that concept implementing in his life starting to take hold? Adam, so excited to have you here with us. And I think we're going to have a ton of fun. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Adam,
I'm excited to be here.
A pleasure to be introduced to you. And again, a warm welcome to the show. Go ahead, Rich.
Well, I'm curious, before we jump into, you know, how you discovered and got connected to the infinite banking concept, walk us through, let's go back a little bit further. Talk us a little bit about how you got started. What was the catalyst to get you started in the real estate game early on, now being with REMAX for over 20 years? What led you down that path to say, I'm going to be selling a whole bunch of real estate all over Ontario? How did that come about for you?
Well, I'm one of those really weird people. I always like to tell people, I was raised in a family where my dad was a contractor in town for over 40 years. And my dad always bought real estate whenever he could. Mm-hmm. And so he bought real estate, in the 90s when, it wasn't a great time, in the 80s when it was a good time. And he didn't own a lot, but he owned a few. And so I was raised around that. Ever since I could sign a receipt book, I was collecting rent from tenants and interacting with tenants of all sizes and descriptions. So I kind of grew up with that in my blood. So I loved it. So as I progressed through my journey, through my life, I would say I'm really weird because I always wanted to be a realtor. I always wanted to be around real estate. And so once I was, got to a certain age, I went ahead and I got licensed and I jumped in and as soon as I got my license, I gave notice at my work, 2 weeks, I'm out of here, and you jump, right?
Wow.
And into the wacky and crazy world of 100% commission sales and, sink or swim.
Wow. Well, obviously you swam.
Yeah.
And that's yeah. Great. And what inspired you to, so when you reflect back on what that domino was that tipped over for you, your introduction to the infinite banking concept, what inspired you to pursue your learning about it before you implemented it? What was it that piqued your interest in the sense of, okay, this something's clicking with me here. I've got to do a little bit more research. What was that?
So you'll love to hear this and love to know that before I was converted, I was anti life insurance in general.
Wow.
I was indoctrinated in the, the buy a term and invest the difference.
Yeah.
And that's what I lived by. And I was a hardliner, right? I was like a real estate guy. They're crazy. Don't buy the crap is what I tell people. You buy the term and invest the difference, in my opinion. And I was really strong on that. And then so what happened for me is one thing I've noticed is that the older that you get and the more liabilities you have in terms of family, in terms of loved ones, in terms of everything, you get a little bit older and you start to view the world a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And as I started to get on, I started to realize like I have life insurance and I'm good. So if something happens to me, I'm covered. I'm good. Right. Everything's paid for. My wife can survive. She's got the rentals to live on. I'll be as good as it can be. But then as I get along and start to realize more and more into the game of taxation and looking into retirement and talking about leveraging, you start to ask more questions. And so that's where I began. So I researched, I was a YouTuber, I guess you'd say, and that was my main research tool, dove in. I researched the infinite banking system for 2.5 to 3 years.
Wow.
Just, because I'm one of those guys where I'm like, I was hard to switch. I couldn't get my head around it. And I wanted to be sure. But as I YouTube, it went deeper. And that's actually how I found Richard. And so I started watching him for quite a while. I'm like, I got to do some more research. And I did more research and I ordered books. And so I've got a stack of books at home and even here with me that I ordered and I read. And I poured through them and I read them. And I'm like, I got to find out what, like, if this is really the thing they're talking about.
Yeah.
And so I finally came to the conclusion. And then I reached out to Richard. So I reached out to him. And then I think Richard and I, we had four meetings over the course of another year.
It's probably a couple. Yeah.
Right. And before I did anything, and we talked and I'm like, belly ached over it. And then I finally took the plunge.
To be fair, some of that was simply because Adam was too busy selling real estate that it was hard to get meetings with him. And so being a recovering realtor myself, I mean, the old expression is you make hay when the sun is shining. So, I was patient, but I believed that he would do what was necessary when the time was right.
Well, this is a sharp example of the one frequent piece of feedback that we receive being that, so Richard, how far along are you in your journey with the process since 2009?
Yeah, this will be, I think, year 15 or something like that.
And so being this far along, I'll be in my 16th year with this process. The most common feedback that we receive from people is that they had hoped that they would have discovered the process sooner so they could have implemented it to a higher degree sooner. And that, being in the business that we're in, thank goodness, that's the most common piece of feedback that we receive. And so now that you've been on this journey for some time, what is your thinking as it relates to that? How has this been an advantage for you? How has this concept been an advantage for you personally?
Well, this has been a huge advantage. I shared with Richard just not too long ago. So it was a year ago, this past December. As we're going along, a house came up on the market, and it was on a street that my wife and I, we had been watching in our community. And it's a street where, the last house came up for sale 4.5 years ago. So this house came on the market. It was on the market. And it just, when the market was just kind of sliding and going sideways, and this house was just sitting there. And so, and this is just down the street from us. We were in a rural location and this was in the village. So I said to my wife, okay, let's go have a look at this. Famous last words. We go look at this house, walked in there, and then we realized this house is perfect. This is just what we're looking for. This is it. House has been on the market 78 days. I'm thinking, okay, right? Be able to get me a deal here. Perfect. So of course, being the amazing realtor that I am, just at the same time that I want to make an offer, somebody else wants to make an offer. So now I'm competing for this house. Anyway, fast forward, I buy the house cash with no conditions. Okay.
Okay.
Now for me, I've got some rentals. So I exceed the limit that banks are allowed to, they're not allowed to give me mortgages anymore without special exceptions.
Okay.
And so your wife always told you were special, but this isn't the kind of special you were hoping for. Am I on track there?
Well, when you're talking about, getting either, borrowing more money from someone because we were going to upgrade in our house. I didn't need a whole lot, but I needed some. Yeah. I knew, worst case scenario, I'm going to have to pay private fees. They get expensive. I'm prepared to do that if I have to, if the banks won't work something out. But then in the back of my mind, I thought, Richard's always said that I could just call and, actually get a loan and, we'll see how true this is and how this is going to work. So when it came up to the closing, because I had a long closing date, that's what I did. I went through the process, fumbled my way through it because I'd never done it. I didn't know how to do it. And yeah, quite literally 2 days later, there's money in my bank account. I'm like, wow, okay. that you know, a little bit of doubt still on my mind, because I'm like, that just seemed really easy. It's kind of seemed too easy, but it did. It was there, and I'm like, and then so go collect the money and go to my lawyer and say, there's the extra money. I done. So that's how it's most recently benefited me.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And a couple of things to expand on what Adam shared. So for viewers on the YouTubes, people listening to the podcast, when Adam was saying, hey, like this is really easy. So if you contrast this with, you have to go through a process, a lengthy, nosy credit application. You've got to qualify on income. You've got to have clean credit. So you have to be basically, you have to fit the risk profile of the lender, but you have to be underwritten. The deal has to be underwritten. Whereas with the insurance company, because Adam co-owns the insurance company, he can borrow against his accumulating cash value on demand on his terms. And the insurance company itself is guaranteeing the collateral for the loan, which is why they don't need a repayment schedule from Adam. So that puts Adam in a position of total and absolute control. And so my question for you, Adam, is respecting that you mentioned this is easy, but I'd love to know, and our listeners and viewers would love to know, how did that make you feel?
How did it make me feel after the fact? During the whole process? Throughout?
Yeah.
Well, you know, how I describe the policies to my clients and my family now, I tell everyone, this is what makes me and helps me to sleep at night. You know, even though I'm a real estate guy, even though like I have other things going on, it just helps me to sleep. It's that peace of mind that I have knowing that it's taken care of.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I can tell you that right here, you know, emotionally, it feels good. It feels really good. Just knowing
and every
that.
Single day you're in the house, your cash value still keeps going up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, we just went over that. And my last contribution that I put in, I mean, you know, was my dividends. I might screw this up, Richard, so you have to help me along, but my dividends exceeded what I put in, right? I'm at that point now. So I'm like, okay, wow. Awesome, right? Pretty cool, or how much that grew. So that's when I, you know, and I had been looking on my schedule and my policies kind of, you know, not waiting for that time, but eyeballing that time when that level of efficiency would be reached. And so, you know, I'm there. So I'm like, wow. That's pretty cool.
It's cool how it happened, but also how quickly it happened. And, you know, I think it's really interesting. So, because when you were telling me this story here, it might've been a month or so ago when we were talking about it, and I thought, wow, this is such a good story. I remember something you had indicated to me was about, you know, making the offer, having a competing offer and talking about how we're going to close on it. And there was a little bit of stress there about, you know, between your wife and you about, and like, there was some concern on how we were going to get it done. And of course, me knowing you, Adam, you're a get it done kind of guy. So you were never concerned, but the idea that, you know, you were going to use the insurance policy to close it was kind of like, oh, like we can do that. So it was kind of like an interesting, almost family conversation dynamic that got created in the process. Which I felt, you know, as you were telling it to me, it was like, wow, what an amazing bridge to start to really integrate now, having some conversations about this while you're living in the home with your four kids about what helped buy the home. So you can start to maybe connect some of the tissue around family banking into your conversations now, simply by buying the home and how and what helped accomplish doing it.
Well, so I'll tell you, I just got back today from Northern Ontario. We went up there for a few days because this is what around our house is what we, this is what we call birthday week. So we have four kids. Our first two are twins and their birthday's on Saturday. Our second son, his birthday January 31st. So this is our birthday week. So my twins are now, they're in high school. This is their first year and they didn't want to go away because they're a little bit stressed because of, you know, missing out on, you know, tests and school and whatever. So this week is exams. So I've been kind of timing it, and I got this advice from a friend of mine. And so their exams, my son's last exam was Tuesday. So I said, okay, let's hop in the truck. We're going north. We're going to go skiing for a few days, right? Just to get away. And so while we're away, I said to him, hey, just so you know, I want to talk to you about this family bank that I started. And so I actually had the first conversation with him about this, about what we're doing, right? I took that up there. We're sitting at a restaurant, right? And now, because now, you know, Cameron and Jillian, they're going to be 15. My other son just turned 13. So they're at this age where they're starting to understand and grasp these concepts. and my twins are working, so they're earning money, and I'm making them save and invest. And so, you know, when you start to see where the money goes, and you start to see it accumulate when you're saving, and you know, good things are happening. And so I started to introduce the concept and let them know, hey, and I said, just so you know, the reason we have our house is because I was able, I started this a number of years ago, right? And I said, and they're still kind of like, wow, really? And so I explained it to them some more, and I'm like, and it made it that much easier, right? I didn't have to once again go to the bank and beg and plead and jump through flaming hoops like a lot of us real estate investors have to, because they're, you know, it's got to be underwritten, and they want to, you know, dot every I and cross every T. And that's what I would say to everyone, you know, not that I couldn't get the money, because I know where to get it, right? It's just, how much is it going to cost, right? Yeah. And then, but having this, you know, storehouse of reserves kind of tucked away that was there, I knew I could draw on that. And that's where it gave me that extra confidence, especially when I made the offer. I knew that the possibility was there.
Become your own banker and take back control over your financial life. Hey, is this even possible? You may be asking, can I even do this? Well, you better believe it. In fact, it's easy to get going. So easy that we've put together a free report, 7 Simple Steps to Becoming Your Own Banker. Download it right now. Go to 7steps.ca. That's 7steps.ca. Now let's get back to the episode.
If you were to reflect on the time that you spent researching this process, all the great dialogue and conversations that you had with Richard before deciding to move forward and implement it, if you were speaking to someone else who said, hey, Adam, like, I came across this content on YouTube about the infinite banking concept, becoming your own banker. I remember you talking to us about something like that. But what would you say to encourage that person on their journey of learning, knowing that you consumed a lot of great books and a lot of great YouTube content and so on? What would you express to somebody who's maybe just getting started on their journey of learning? What advice would you give them?
Well, once again, I mean, the advice I give everyone is, I wish I would have started sooner.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I would have been a convert sooner, because I see the power. When I see the other policies I've created for my children, I'm like, I see the impact that's going to have over a long term. And I can tell you, I certainly wish I had that, you know, going through my adult life. If my parents did that, it's really powerful. And in my experience, you know, I can say it's not a lot of money, right? Because I've started early. It's pretty profound, the impact it's going to have for them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So that's what gets me excited when I see that. I'm like, wow, like, you know, and I described to them just the other day, you know, we're having dinner. I'm like, just, you know, what we've started is going to be great. And I said to them, just so you know, your grandkids are going to benefit from this. Right. And they looked at me, right, kind of like, because they're young, they're like, they're not thinking of that space. But I'm like, I'm starting this now because I'm worried. I want to make sure that your kids are taken care of. And you have to make sure that your grandkids are taken care of, you know, et cetera. And, but yeah, that's what I tell everyone. I wish I started it earlier. I wish I started it sooner. And kind of in a way that I look at it, and I, you know, how I think about it myself, is that I almost feel like I'm hedging my bet on the fact that I'm going to die. Mm. Right. That's how I always view it. I say to Richard, I'm like, I feel like I'm hedging my bet. Right. Like, I know I'm going to die. I just don't know when. Right. But I just keep on tucking this away and have this little bit of insurance there, because it's inevitable and it's going to happen. And there's nothing, you know, nothing I can do about it. And no one's getting out of here alive, of course. Right. So that's the advice I give to people. And I think it's part of a plan, obviously, which you guys do a great job with, by the way, following up and making sure that people are implementing it and people understand that. I mean, that's valuable. It's not it can't be a set it and forget it kind of thing. It can't be, you know, and much how I deal with real estate with people. I'm like, you know, hey, I want you to invest in real estate for all the amazing reasons that we can list. But it's not a set it and forget it thing, right? This is a moving, living, breathing thing that's going to change over time, that we have to make sure that we're utilizing it in our life appropriately.
Well, and credit to any of our Ascendant financial teammates who are listening, our tribe, our family. Richard and I could not do what we do without our teammates supporting us every step of the way. And so all the credit to them for enabling us to operate in this unique ability and have these great conversations with people like you, Adam. And to hear your care for your kids and your care for your future grandkids, and the fact that you can think long range and you're doing that and you're placing a degree of emphasis on thinking long range, but you're also taking the action steps now to make that long range vision of yours a reality, that's commendable. And as a fellow dad, as Richard being a fellow dad, I have four kids myself, two of which are twins, coincidentally, and being able to share this with them at an age where sometimes we can underestimate just how conceptual our kids actually are. And if we explain it to them, as Nelson shared with us, to say, look, this concept is meant to be ridiculously simple. It's not meant to be sensationalized. Keep it simple. And we have to keep it simple to explain it to our children at an early age. And so credit to you for doing that. That's commendable. And your kids will be watching this video on YouTube someday saying, I remember that dinner conversation I had with my dad. And his grandkids are fine, you know, because these videos are going to live on the YouTubes forever. So kudos to you for doing that.
Well, and it's interesting, Adam, because, you know, getting started and getting you set up on your program, there was a capital accumulation that needed to be deployed somewhere, and it was able to be deployed, and you didn't have the need or the use of it right away. And so life was going on, business is good, cash flow is good, family's going well. And so when the time arose, when you needed it and the opportunity presented itself, everything just kind of came together. And you may or may not recall this, but you know, one of the things I like to share with people through the conversations we have is, you know, it's okay to take a loan, take a small one, even if you don't need it. Take one, experience the process. Take $500, take $1,000. Worst case scenario, you receive in your bank account and you send it right back. But now you've completed a loop, and the loop of that activity is the first piece of training. It's getting on the bike and starting to pedal, right? Yep. And so the sooner that we implement that step, whether you need the capital right now or not, the quicker and easier you're able to do it the next time, and then the next time, and then the next time. And it starts to create a little bit of muscle memory. And so, and then likewise, the same result happens with loan repayments. So, you know, for myself, you know, I recently did a video, I think it went on our Bankers Vault channel, talking about structuring and amortization and how to set up a loan restructure, and at least the way that I do it, and some tips on how to best think through that process so that we're not stealing the peas, as Nelson identified in his book. And I talked a lot about how there were periods of time where I wasn't very good at returning the peas and putting the payments back on the shelf due to, hey, the business wasn't doing what it's doing today. Like there was challenges, economic challenges. So, but going back later, you know, years later, things are going well. Now I'm replenishing the peas from years before where I wasn't doing a good job of it then. So you can still follow through in that process. And so I'm just kind of sharing that for our listeners to help them recognize your ability to control the repayment terms at your discretion. That's the role of the banker, is so liberating. And I think you might've shared something with me, Adam, because the timing of when you found the property that you purchased, and then when you were able to close on it, and then I think you got, I don't know if you guys did any renovations or not, but you also were getting rid of your other place. And there was a gap in time there because you were selling a rural property, different type of property. For anyone's own rural property, I can tell you it's not as easy, not as many buyers, not as many lenders. And you were doing that in an economic time frame where in Ontario, things were starting to shift a little bit and interest rates are rising. So there's all these competing pressures making it more difficult for buyers to purchase the house you're leaving. Am I on track there?
Yeah. I bought this house cash with no conditions in December, and first part of December, and my house wasn't ready for the market, you know? So, you know, you have to take your
own. You were living in a house with four kids on an acreage. I can't imagine what would have been going on that could have caused some necessary changes to be taking place.
Right. You know, it's like, you know, four kids aren't easy on a house. I can share with you, as you guys know.
Yep.
And I had some plans already that I was working on in my house that, you know, need to be complete. I had this workout room that was starting to get, you know, so I literally bought this house and I called my contractor and said, okay, guess what? We need to get this going. So over Christmas last year, house is tore apart. We're painting, we're doing this. It's a great thing that I have the best wife ever, because she loves that sort of thing, and she was right into it, but she just gets it done. And my contract was there. So we built an entire room, got that set up. We're doing flooring, we're doing a bunch of things. And we pulled it together. So I was ready for the market at the end of January. So they worked for me through Christmas, all the way through January, built an entire room, long list of work, and I was done, you know, ready for the market, not to mention purge a house that you have where you've been collecting a bunch of stuff, and it's done. So when I put my house on the market at the end of January, I had an appropriate amount of time to sell it, but I didn't have extra time. You know, like I was like, I'm pricing this right. This is going to go, you know. And so, you know, I put on the market on Friday, got an offer on Saturday, accepted it Sunday. I'm like, okay, good. Perfect. You know,
Wow.
so went together smooth, and that's what we want. But not a, you know, it, not a moment to spare, because they're the buy other buyers hadn't sold their house, and they're in a similar predicament where up until 3 weeks before closing, they hadn't sold their house. They had different sets of challenges. I'm thinking, uh-oh, what's going to happen here? This is going to be interesting, because I had already closed on my new one. I'm bridging the two. I'm thinking, this is going to be interesting, right? This
Wow.
is going to be very interesting. So, and you know, and you know, people, and I mean, Richard, you know, I mean, from being a realtor, you do this every day, and you haven't moved for a bit, even though it happens to other people. You know, we often forget how stressful it can be,
Yeah.
how many things that need to get done, and whatnot. So it's a good process for me just to move personally every so often, because like, wow, like all these moving parts, and you know, I've got to take my own advice, and then I have some realtors of my own that I actually call in to talk me off the ledge to make sure that I'm being reasonable, you know, and that kind of thing. So it's all going to fit together, and so the policies, I mean, just knowing that was there, just I knew that it was going to be covered, and so I didn't have to stress about that nearly as much, even though, you know, I wasn't sure about the process of getting a policy loan and things like that. I knew I could call Richard and, you know, throw up the white flag or whatever and say, give me a hand, I need some help, you know. So
That's awesome. And it just amplifies the simplicity of it when you're dealing with all those other stressful things. The last thing you need is another stressful thing on your plate. And so, yeah, that's really, really awesome to hear. And reflecting on what you shared earlier when you said, you know, it took me a few years to really grasp the concept. And so, can you recall a few things that you had taken that extended period of time to process? Like, was there anything in particular about it that sort of caused you to pause and say, wow, I really need to dig deeper into this aspect of it. Like, was it anything in particular?
Well, so I was kind of thinking about this, and you know, I would say I like talking about finances. I'm sick and I'm weird. I read financial books for fun. I read business books for fun. That's what I like to do. So when I'm talking to people about finances, you know, I understand that there's some people just they haven't gone to any lengths to find out. They haven't gone to any lengths to research and ask questions. So over the years, how I've always structured my life is I've structured everything that I do, you know, and we're going to say in a very tax efficient manner, right? So being self-employed, it allows me a lot of certain opportunities in terms of writing things off and et cetera. And so everything that I do, I've kind of worked and built around that. So when I started to dive into how, you know, using like the Nash, Nelson Nash method, when I started to understand that and grasp that, then I started to realize like, wow, like that fits into exactly how I think. That fits into exactly what I'm already doing, you know? And there's a, I think there's a Blake Shelton country song, and I just heard it while we're away. And this is when it kind of clicked with me. And the song's called The More I Drink, right? And the whole song goes on, says, the more I drink, the more I drink, right? And I thought, like, that's how I've set up a lot of my things in terms of being in business and whatnot, is that the more I make things tax efficient, the more I make things tax efficient, you know? And that's what kind of rolls around my head, because it's like when I go to do something or buy something, it's like, hey, you know, how am I going to leverage this opportunity to, you know, obviously reduce my taxes to get me further ahead and to make it make sense. You know, if I want a doodad, or I want to go somewhere, then let's plan for that, and let's have a reason to make that tax deductible or create different opportunities that way.
So good. So
Well,
good.
what's something that I think is interesting is, you know, reflecting on some of the things you've shared with us too, Adam, and when you started talking about, you know, how you transitioned from a different mindset, a different way of thinking when you first learned about infinite banking. Can part of it was age, part Part of it was responsibilities of family that had shifted over time. But you kind of identified as the hardcore buy term and invest the difference model previously, and now I would say the pendulum has kind of swung the other direction. I'll let you be the judge of that. But when you consider or think about the people that you either meet or maybe someone who's going to watch this program who maybe has had that same mindset, or they've heard that adage time and time again, whether it was from their parents or marketing or maybe popular radio TV personalities, and they're kind of going down that route, and they're almost like, it's kind of like there's a doorway, but it's closed. And on the other side of this is this a knowledge of infinite banking concept that could maybe help them in their life, but they're not even willing to open the door. They can see the doors there, but they're not willing to open it to explore what's even just take a peek around on the other side of the door. What would you kind of indicate, or what would you suggest that someone who's in that position consider if they were Adam, from 4 or 5 years ago, and they were feeling that way and this door was right in front of them?
Well, it's so back when I was 18, I believe it was 18-ish, 18, 19, I actually was licensed to sell life insurance. Okay. There's a company that goes around, and I was licensed with them, and they strongly, in their whole mantra is buy term and invest the difference. And that's what they do. So I was indoctrinated with that right from the very beginning. And there's a bunch of books that would also support that. And so that's where my journey began. So it was a nugget in my head that was the right thing to do, And then the further you get along in life, once again, I'm taking on more risks and seeking out more opportunities. And for me, anyone that is working, say the Smith maneuver in their life, by leveraging and investing and creating tax deductible opportunities in their life, it's a similar concept for me with the infinite banking. It's the same thing, only I believe that for me, it's on steroids. There's just so much more benefit to it for me and my family. Once again, kind of getting a little bit older, getting a bit more mature, getting through life, and knowing that I have a bunch of other people that I need to take care of, and I can't just kind of go willy-nilly, throughout the financial world without any strong foundation, So that's where when I step back with people, and I like to kind of recant kind of where I've been. I'm like, I get it, I totally get it, but there's certain internet personalities or TV personalities that strongly give their opinion, which is all valid, but I think that's really good for the average person, because the average person typically, and from my real estate business, I can tell you, the average person isn't or cannot save, and they're not able to really keep ahead of what's happening now. So I totally respect. And so quite honestly, I say to people, look, it's not financial advice, but you need a plan, because you're not working a plan now. So that TV personality, that's going to be a good fit for you for right now. That's going to get you on the right path, because where you're headed right now is not working. So you need to do that. So I've pushed people in that direction. Go do that.
Yeah.
And then I just had lunch with a good client of mine last week, actually. And he's a pastor. And a couple of years ago, he said to me, he says, I have to tell you, I've been going along. And of course, being a pastor isn't extremely lucrative, and he starts to share some of his story. Right. And so I said, okay, well, here's what you need to do. And so there's always two books I recommend. I said, you got to start there. Right. Read those books and let me know how you make out.
Yeah.
And I always do that to people, because that's a way, because people always, I've had people come and say, like, what's the secret? Like, what's the silver bullet? Right. Like, that's the question they ask. Like, how do I get a bunch of rental properties? And I say, no problem. And then so I would say to them, can you pull out a copy of your home budget? And they're like, can I see a copy of your home budget? And they're like, I'm like, you don't have one, do you? No. I said, well, that starts there.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, what? And like, then they're like, and so now I'll give them a couple books. I'll hand them. I buy a couple different types of books. I'll tell you, I buy two books and I buy them in bulk. I buy Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
And I buy The Richest Man in Babylon.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I say to people, say, hey, I have two books, but I'm only going to give these to you if you read them. If you don't want to read them, totally fine, but I want to keep them, because I'm going to give them to someone else and bless them with it. but I'll give these to you, but only if you're going to read them. And so I've had some people take them and they never read them and they never call me again, right? They never go, they never have that conversation again. So that's where I personally always push people, because you know, once again, you know, you getting into people's houses and getting into people's lives, and you start to read some of their diary and they share a lot of things with you. Say, look, this is the only way. And this is, there's no other way as far as I've been able to find, there's no other way, but it starts here. And then, you know, it spans out from there and you figure out where you need to be within that arena. So that's for anyone that's listening, for anyone that's watching, that's where it's going to start. So if you haven't, first of all, if you haven't read those two books, you got to get those books. You got to read those. There's no, those ones are fundamental. If you haven't read those, in my opinion, you haven't begun the journey. And then you have to start asking questions and you got to figure out what you want to do, where you want to be, because whatever decision you want to do, you've got to commit to it. And you know, these decisions are long-term. You don't want to do it for the short term because it's hot and it sounds good, but you have to commit and you have to understand why you want to do this. Same thing with owning real estate. I say to people, look, real estate's amazing. It's blessed me and my family immensely, you know, in immeasurable ways, in more ways I'm still going to find out, but real estate is easy to get in and hard to get out. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we realize the second half when this market starts to turn and the market goes downward or sideways and people start to realize, I can't sell my house by Friday, right? Like people aren't lined up around the block to make me an offer. You know, these are the sort of things where, you know, I've been with a lot of people over the last year and a half, and it's like, it's rung their bell. Mm-hmm. It's rung their bell loud and clear.
Reality and sinks realize, in. Yeah.
You know, realize that having that big fancy house to impress your friends that, you know, only come over once a year is like, has a price. You know, so this is part of it. And that's how I believe it. You know, you have to get that foundation set up. You got to work towards it. And then for me, once again, when I realized that leaving a legacy for my family is at my core is fundamental also. And this fits into that for me. You know, just like with real estate, I said to my kids, just so you know, like, you know, I'm going to buy and sell. I'm going to get rid of the dogs. I'm going to keep the nice ones. But just so you know, you're not going to sell those. Right, you're going to take those and you're going to add to it and you're going to pass it on, right? Because that's what the wealthy families do, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. All day long,
right. And so it's the same concept with this, right? Just add to it and move it forward, and I see the power in that. Just like with real estate, I can just see that.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned you know, Rich Dad Poor Dad. Both of those are amazing books, by the way, and I would also encourage everyone to get them. And so you exemplify some of the principles, especially in The Richest Man in Babylon, about really fundamentally getting clear on certain amount of money, getting put away, putting all aside. As you were building your real estate portfolio, if I recall, Adam, you focused on generating your, you know, your revenue from your business as what kept the lights on. And then the cash flow from the real estate could go and build more on the real estate portfolio. So you're a little bit more specific about that. So you weren't taking your foot off the gas pedal of trying to generate new revenue, which I think a lot of people do as they start to build up a passive income. But I just want to touch on the book, Rich Dad Poor Dad. That was a catalyst for me in 1999 when I first got that book, and you know, very grateful to the individual, much like yourself, who had called and said, hey, Rich, I want you to go buy this book and send me the receipt and I'll take care of that book for you. And so it was a similar model, and that really helped start my journey. And coincidentally, I actually bought that book for my kids for Christmas this year. And they now have a $100 challenge that they're going to earn, each have the ability to earn $100 for reading that book and having a conversation with Dad.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, you're nicer than I am, because I only paid 20 bucks. Hey, you want to make 20 bucks? Going to read this book.
well, at 8 and 6, I figure I'm going to make the incentive really high, and then I'm going to equate it to something that my son wants on the Nintendo Switch, which is probably going to be a similar value. So, but Adam, really, really awesome to be with you today. Thank you so much for doing this and sharing a little bit about your journey of discovery about Nelson's message, your implementation of it, a tangible use case of where you've implemented it in your life. I think a lot of people are really going to resonate with the simplicity and the format of buying your own home and being in the challenge of being between two when an opportunity strikes. So what an incredible story. You know, as we look to transition out here today, the last thing I really just want to know is, based on everything that you've been doing, you've been helping people for 20 years buy and sell houses, you've been making their dreams come true on the advantage of home ownership. Who would you say you most want to be a hero to?
Well, for me, you know what? I mean, it goes without saying, it's to my kids, right? It's all about family. That's where it starts. And you know, when I think about this system and I think about what's available that I've been able to create, I know that as long as I carry that forward, they're going to be blessed by it, and it's going to be awesome for them.
Everything begins and ends with family.
Yeah.
Adam, thank you. What an incredible show. Rich, so good as always. Today's been a great content day. And to all our viewers on the YouTubes, there's a video that just showed up, courtesy of our editing team, to continue your journey of learning. There's always something new to learn. No such thing as having arrived in knowledge. And so, gentlemen, this was a pleasure. Make the rest of your week outstanding. And thanks again.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Without Bay Street podcast, where your wealth matters. Be sure to check out our social media channels for more great content. Hit subscribe on your favorite podcast player and be sure to rate the show. We definitely appreciate it. And don't forget to share this episode with someone you care about. Join us on the next episode where we continue to uncover the financial tools, strategies, and the mindsets that maximize your wealth.